Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Let's give a shout out to Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe for your friends. If you're single, sign up and start meeting cool new people now. If you're not single, you can still sign up and play matchmaker for your friends. Download Ship. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. Sign up, invite your friends, and create your crew. Kevin and I are on it, and we're helping find matches for our producer, Steve. And one of the best parts is the group chat feature. You can skim through profiles and strategize how to start the conversation to help your friends find just the right match. Finding a date is more fun if you do it with friends. Download Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe with your friends. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today.
Sometimes an on-screen romance can lead to an off-screen showmance.
How romantic.
Join former Glee stars and best friends Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz as they interview other dynamic duos and share stories about the highs and lows of friendship.
She's my best friend. I love you.
Right here on Showmance with Kevin and Jenna.
Welcome to Showmance. I'm Jenna Ushkowitz, and we have a very special guest today, Heather Morris.
That's me. I just announced myself.
What's up, Heather?
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun. We do this crossover thing.
Stuff when we need help. That's friends helping friends.
Jen and I are like really on top of whatever we're doing, and we're like, can you just help me out? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can you help me?
Exactly. Heather, what did you eat today?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to ask me this. Well, I think I'm the Kevin in this situation because I make the same thing all the time. But I actually made myself, because I had a little time, which I thought I did, but I guess I didn't. I had scrambled eggs and a piece of toast with butter on it.
That's great.
And two cups of coffee.
Two.
I'm a two-cupper.
In one sitting, two-cupper? Like,
it usually goes with me, and I reheat it a billion times. And then the second cup I pour, and I drink about like half of it. So maybe like one and a half.
Okay, that's fair.
What did you have for breakfast?
I'm so boring, because I had the same thing I usually have, the reduced-fat turkey bacon from Starbucks and an ice cream tea. I didn't have a coffee this morning because I was a little hungover. And here's
me
the
too.
Thing. What? So, get this. I don't drink coffee when I'm hungover because it makes me really feel nauseous. Yeah. I get like, I need something
like dry mouth,
light and exactly hydrating and not like creamy and like, you know, milky.
Right. I have like 5 cups of water before I go to sleep so then I can wake up and have coffee.
Exactly. I think I had 3 bottles of water on my nightstand this morning and David was like, water much? I was like, well, at least I'm hydrating.
It's like the Signs movie. Is that what it's from? The Signs movie when there's water cups everywhere?
And then they're in the little tinfoil hats.
Yeah.
Cute. Little Abigail Breslin.
Oh, that was Abigail Breslin. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Why were you hungover?
I don't know. I just felt like...
Did you drink last night?
I did drink. Okay, so obviously there was drinking
last night,
involved.
But I'm hungover. Okay.
But like mentally I'm thinking, why? Why did I drink?
Me too. I have a rule that I don't usually drink during the week, but this week was like a little bit of a... I got a pass just because like it was a busy week.
Okay. Yeah. It was a busy week for you because you were doing your directorial debut.
Yeah, for my short film. It was very exciting.
Of course you drank.
I drank a lot this week. Like to the point where it's the end of the week and the weekend's coming and I have no desire. I'm alcoholed out.
You're done.
But I only had a couple of drinks. I had 2.5 drinks last night and I'm hungover. What does that mean?
Did you eat enough last night?
Yeah, we had Indian food.
I don't know. But I think maybe if you, I don't know. But I know you've been busy and you've been doing a lot.
I'm tired.
And the hard part about that is like I think of it as, and somebody's explained it to me, when you're not drinking, you're working and you're being your person at a higher level frequency. So everything is more elevated. It's more like happier, high level. And so when you feel too high, sometimes I feel like it's ADD is what we call it.
Right.
You feel too high of level, you need to go to a lower level of energy. And I think that's why we drink.
Yeah, that's actually very true. But
you do really function
at a higher level. And like I've been functioning at a higher level. And so now I feel even lower. Like right now I feel really
You're
low.
You're mush.
Because I've been eating really clean and I haven't been drinking that much, which is probably why I'm super, yeah. Like I feel like this. But yeah, I feel like there's like a smoke screen of alcohol in my body right now.
But it's okay to feel that way.
It is okay to feel that way because you know what? It's the f***ing weekend.
Yeah. We have a song. It's the f***ing weekend.
Oh, not really. Is that it?
That was it.
Is that our song?
That's our song.
Oh. It's the f***ing weekend.
Scat. Scat.
It's the f***ing weekend. It's time to get down. Or go to sleep. Or never wake up. Yay!
Yay! Glee!
Heather.
So who is our guest this week?
Jane Lynn!
I don't think... Anybody so could be more excited than
us,
you and I.
Yeah. It's
and
like,
we worked with
and
her.
We know her, and she's a friend, but like, still, there's something very magical and mystical about her that, like, we don't get to ask her that many questions because, like, sometimes she looks like she doesn't want to be asked anything or, like, looked in the eye. And I'm like, okay, like,
yeah.
I know you're a really nice person and I adore you, but, like, I'm not going to look you in the eye right now.
I'm not going to make that eye contact.
I'm just not
right
going to make it. My favorite thing about Jane is, okay, so this was years ago when, like, the height of Glee, right?
Okay.
She's super, super, like, I mean, she's still super famous, but, like, this was it. And we're at the Apple store, and both of us are getting, like, bombarded from opposite sides. We didn't know we were both there.
Oh, shit.
And I look over and I'm like, oh, somebody famous, like, go there. And I look over and I see, like, tall Jane, like, towering over yeah. everybody. And people
She's
go
like
to,
6'2".
I ran away and, like, I run towards Jane. I'm like, save me. And she goes, I hear a girl go, Jane, can I get a picture with you? And she goes, no, thank you.
Because she...
I was like, that's the move.
She's so socially awkward.
That's the move. I loved it.
No, thank you.
And people were like, okay.
And they accept it.
Where they, like, yell at us. They'll yell at us and say we're mean.
If I say no or
yeah,
anything...
we're bitches. But
oh
Jane,
God.
It's like, okay.
So I was... I was on another level. Like, we went on vacation. We drove home with the kids. It's a whole thing when you have kids and you have to drive in the car.
I can't imagine.
The next day, I go to my Coffee Bean, and I had, like, sunglasses on, very low energy, as I described
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
And I said something, like, really snarky to the guy. Like, he fills my drink a little bit too high most of the time. And so when I put the top on it... And it always spills over.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, I always do that. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm used to it. But I didn't
Heather!
Mean to say it to him that way.
That's my favorite.
I know. And because yeah. I go to every coffee shop, not just him, every single one,
I
they
know.
Always do that to me. And I'm so used to it.
I hate it, though, because it gets on the top rim then. And then you have to, like, suck it off. And it's kind of dirty. And you're like, ew, this is gross.
That's what she said.
Yeah, that's right. Before we get to Jane, let's give a shout out to Zola. You guys know how much we love giving wedding advice. We're basically experts. So here's a piece of advice for you. If you're trying to build your wedding website, the only way to go is with Zola. They make the wedding planning and registry experience so easy. Right now, build your free wedding website on Zola, Z-O-L-A, and get $50 towards your registry. So go to Zola.com/showmans and get started today. You guys, I went on this website and they have everything. I have had a ton of friends who have actually used it for their weddings, and they have expert tips, they have to-do checklists, they have everything you could ever imagine. So from your engagement to the wedding to decorating your home, Zola gives you the tools to make it all so seamless. They take the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, the easiest wedding registry, affordable invite suites, and much more. So once you set up your site, you can add photos and stories about how you two met, accommodation info, and even local recommendations for out-of-towners. Zola is the only place where you can register for honeymoon funds and gift cards along with physical gifts. From save the dates and invites to day of paper and thank you cards, Zola has you covered. Again, build your free wedding website on Zola, Z-O-L-A, and get $50 towards your registry. So go to Zola.com/showmans and get started today. Should we just get to Jane?
Yeah.
On that note.
This was so awkward, but so good.
Hey guys, if you love Showmans, make sure you go check out The Dance Room with Heather Morris and Ava Bernstein Mitchell. They talk to legit world-class dancers and choreographers and recap all of your favorite TV dance shows. It's fun, it's inclusive, it's Hemo, it's Ava Flav. We love them and we know you will too. That's The Dance Room with Heather Morris and Ava Bernstein Mitchell every Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Okay, we're here. This is a different group today, you guys, on Showmans. So we have Jane Lynch.
Hello.
Heather Morris.
Hey.
Returning customer.
Returning customer.
Well, welcome
back. We're switching back and forth. This
Jane,
is so exciting.
Thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Oh my goodness, you're just so busy.
You know what? It's the weirdest thing. I'm not. Everybody thinks I'm so busy, but I just go from coffee shop to coffee shop. In fact, do you know who Rufus Sewell is? I'm going to drop some names here.
Well, yeah. Please do.
One name, Rufus Sewell. We both go to the same coffee shop.
Okay.
And it looks like he's working all the time too, but he's not.
Just hiding it at the coffee shop.
You know, because you work 2 days and then.
And then you're done.
And it's in a big show, so everybody sees it. And,
right. And you're like, so now what?
Like, wow, she's so busy.
And no, I just left Blue Bottle, and he was coming in. And
I love Blue Bottle.
Yeah, I do too. It's the best. And yeah. Kings Road is very good too.
Yeah, so yes. I you've been going there for a long time.
I'm going to Kings.
I drive by Kings Road a lot, and I always see Jane sitting outside.
I do. I eat a lot of meals there.
So how's Mrs. Maisel going?
It's good. You know, we finished it in early September, and it comes out December 6th. And, you know, it's such a wonderful show. Every table read, and every actor is there for every table read.
Wow.
And every table read was hilarious and just moving. And so, I think it's just going to be a terrific. And, I mean, look at the trailer's out. Look at the trailer. Look at the wardrobe.
Yeah,
The camera angles, the acting, the set, the background artists.
Yeah.
And what everybody is completely period correct.
Right.
And, it's just so, it's such a joy.
It's such a perfect show.
It's a perfect show. Yeah, it really is. Look at the trailer.
And congrats on your Emmy.
Oh, thank you.
Congrats.
Yay.
Yes.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you. It's for Sophie Lennon on the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Yes.
I loved your speech that you did, and you talked about comedy and like history and like where it came from.
Well, I thank the women that had to, especially when I was growing up in the 60s, the only way they could break through comedy was to be self-deprecating about themselves. I'm so fat, I can't get a date, and blah, I'm so ugly. And there were some women that did it with such panache and such grace and such artistry, like Phyllis Diller, Toadie Fields, Moms Mabley, and Joan Rivers are the people I cited, and there are many, many more. But they were, you know, such artists, and they broke through, you know, even though they had to do "look how fat and ugly I am" jokes.
Right. Yeah, which is like what we're taught now not to do.
And Jane's breaking through for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
My friend's dog's name is Phyllis Diller.
How old is your friend?
She is, well, it's her mom's dog.
Oh, okay. So her mom knew who Phyllis Diller was.
My friend's 30.
That's a cute name.
Phyllis Diller is like 14.
Oh,
she's on like one leg at this point, and she's just the funniest.
Yeah.
It works.
Great. Yeah, I bet it does. Yeah, she was something else, Phyllis Diller was.
Bear, are we boring you?
He is. He has no interest in the history of female comedy.
No, he loves it.
All right, let's talk about Glee, you guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, here it comes.
Yes.
Jane.
Yeah.
I remember when I met you for the first time, I was shell-shocked because you were
Everybody
in the tracksuit for the first it was your first day working on the pilot in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And Lee and I turn the corner and we see you there. And we didn't know you were in the pilot. Nobody told us. And we were like, she's in this.
Yeah, my character was added late.
That's right.
Yeah, and also I wasn't a regular. I was just a guest star.
Did you audition for it?
No.
Just a day player.
Yeah, just a day player. I knew
you
Ryan.
You started off for just like West Wing. Just came in for...
I just showed for one day, a day player.
Came
I had done a pilot that season that was pushed to mid-season. And luckily it didn't get picked up at all. But that what was prohibiting me from being a regular right off the bat. But I knew Ryan from Popular. I did an episode of Popular.
Got it.
That was just insane.
I loved that show.
It was
I watched that show.
I didn't watch that. Wasn't Amber on that? Or she was on other movie that he did like way early on.
Yeah.
Oh, Amber was?
Amber did some movie with Ryan Murphy.
A movie?
When she was a kid.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Did he know she sang so well?
I don't think so. Yeah. Maybe he did have her sing. I don't know
either.
He should have her sing.
She's outrageous.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
What is the most, I mean, you would come in and have to have the most, say the most ridiculous things, the longest monologues.
Yes.
But the songs, I mean, you did like an Olivia Olivia Newton-John
number? Physical. We did the remake of Physical with Olivia Newton-John.
Good. Yes. Yeah. What was your most memorable number that you did? I hate that question.
Yeah, well, yeah, but so why did you ask it?
I'm listening at home. I'm like, what is the most memorable?
Well, when we did Vogue, you guys were both on Vogue.
So good.
I remember that so to the T of like watching it and seeing it come to life and all the dancers behind it.
Oh, yeah. Just amazing. And you know, I worked on that for like two. Oh, God bless. I worked on that for like 2 months.
What? I'm sure you did.
The dance, because you know I'm not a dancer. I can certainly, I can riff with my own kind of dancing, but once somebody tells me how to do it, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I worked really hard.
That's so
really
good.
Hard on that.
Yeah. So you're somebody who I would watch on set who would do things over and over again.
Yes. I'm a little compulsive that way, but I kind of like to do it and over and over again, because once when it gets really inside of you, that's when you can start.
You can be free with it.
You can be free with it. Absolutely. Right. I always say I love performing in a cage. Put me in a cage, give me my limits, and then I'm going to bounce up against it.
Does I was going to forget what I was going to say.
That's all right. I'm going to tell you what my
old.
What you
most
call
memorable.
getting old. The Madonna thing was great, and the physical thing was great. But mostly what I like doing, if the monologues weren't too long, sometimes they were too long.
Yeah.
But I love just being so mean to you guys randomly, just for no reason. Do you remember when I showed you a doll and said, where did they touch you?
Oh, where did they touch you?
Yeah, and I forced you to – we couldn't do that today. And I forced you to accuse somebody of sexual abuse, right?
Absolutely,
Where did they molest you?
Do you remember when you made Santana – she had to take out, like, cutlets and smack her own face with a cutlet? And then she had to smack me across the face with a cutlet?
Because it was like – I said, you're so young. So what Ryan would do is he would take the, like, kind of the weaknesses of the particular cast member.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And he would put it in the script.
Oh, I think about this all the time.
He had me say to her, you are, because I think she had a nose job or a boob job. What did
she
have?
She got her boobs redone.
Redone or something. She's gorgeous.
And she's not shameful about it. Right. She's open about it.
So he had me say to her, sir, you're so young. Why would you cut into your beautiful body? Why would you do that? So basically, I was being Ryan in that moment.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I thought her tits looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We all do.
Now and then.
They always do.
But you guys said you got to do a lot more scenes earlier on together, Heather and Jane.
We did. You were like my favorite. Remember I shot you out of a cannon?
Yeah.
Didn't I shoot you out of a cannon?
Yes.
Brittany did anything for me. Get in that cannon, honey.
Santana and I was like your, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, your like little
minion.
Your little
women
girl.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I was just in awe sitting in that desk, like in your office, getting to watch you do all this stuff. Like, you know, for me as a kid in a candy store, because I was so new to all of it.
That's right, because you were just a dancer.
I was just a dancer. And then I was handed.
Then you got the gay dolphin
conversations.
Line. What did you say? I think. What did you say? What
I think dolphins are just gay sharks. Or did you know that dolphins were just gay sharks?
Brittany S. Pierce had like some really good one-liners. Really good one-liners.
But you were always so special because so you were somebody who would just like when we would do interviews on the carpet, you would be talking about me. It's like almost like you were deflecting off of yourself, and you were just saying like, "This is such
I'm
a
so
special."
Humble. Yeah. And nobody did. Yeah, yeah.
And I always thought that was really inspiring, and I admired that about you to, you know, take the focus off you and, you know,
give it to other people.
And
give it to
I
other
thought
people.
It was just so wonderful that you became a regular, and it was so deserved.
Yeah.
You know, you were doing something
Thank
that was
you.
Really special, something that was unique.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan knew enough to go, I'm going to pluck that one out of obscurity.
Got to.
Out of obscurity.
Got and just throw her into the
basically
the
out of, like, what can I do to impress you when you come in this room every single time?
He would just, I remember he would just cackle at you, Heather. Like, you would say
you
things.
Would kill
and
him.
He would,
but you guys would be
cackle.
Like, Heather, say that thing. Heather, say that thing. I'm like, okay.
One of our favorite play toys.
But it's not about me.
We would wind you up and have you perform.
Yeah. The jester of the group. Let's show him off to Ryan.
Yeah, I remember he would just take so many funny things that he would just like come and hang out with us. And
then he'd take
it
and be
in the script.
Sometimes
the next episode.
It was like with Darren. Sometimes he would have, because we called Darren the politician because he was always, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So I lit into him with like a terrible monologue that Ian wrote, and of course, you know, Ryan's Darren wasn't hurt by it. Just about you know how you think everybody really likes you, and you walk into a room and you sit down at the piano and you think everybody's going, ooh, he's so talented. Yeah, so we always really found whatever's going underneath people.
I feel like that was very therapeutic for you, probably.
Yeah. It was more for him.
More for him, yeah.
Sometimes I felt bad, but...
What do you think the hardest part about Glee was?
People dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Corey.
That's really real.
Losing Corey. That was really, really tough.
Yeah.
That was hard, but that was like 4 years into it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough. I didn't work as hard as you guys did.
So I mean,
I was sometimes would only work a day a week, and you guys.
We were so jealous.
We were pretty jealous.
I wanted to be more engaged.
You did.
Just like drop those little nuggets of like charm and then like get the
out. You know, I appreciate that so much more now because I told him I want to do more. And he's like, you know, we sprinkle you liberally.
Yes.
You know, or conservatively.
Conservatively. Yeah.
And that's the role. But I told him the final season, I said, I'd like to be engaged more. And he made me, I ended up in a raccoon face. And I ended up.
What?
Do you remember? Oh, I was Pepe Le Pew. What? That's not a raccoon. What character is Pepe?
Skunk.
Oh, I was a skunk. And
oh, my God.
Oh, you want to be in more?
Oh, my God. It was so.
Skunk.
He shaved. Here my head.
Oh
I
my
had a
God.
Shaved I didn't really shave
no.
it, but I had a shaved head. But he wasn't, you know,
in
I'm sure he was probably
pasta?
Saying, I'll make her. But
in the black and white tracksuit.
Every moment of it. And then when I got to do the bar mitzvah for that kid, what
but
was
for
his
J. J.
name?
Tola,
oh my God,
right?
He's amazing.
Hitchcock was just here recently and he was talking about that because he directed that episode, right? Child Star?
Did he? Did Hitchcock direct it?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, that's what
either.
I said to him. I wasn't even there. Tina was in Brown at that point, and I was like, you directed an episode?
Yeah, isn't that so funny?
Well deserved, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Yeah, and you got to work with Carol Burnett.
I did, yeah.
That was really cool.
That was huge. That was really huge. I was a big fan of Carol Burnett's, going back to females in comedy.
Yeah.
And what she did that was so great back then is she did the obligatory, oh, I have no chin and blah, blah. But she also just played characters. And and she was so, she was the head of the sketch show. It was called The Carol Burnett Show.
Right.
But it was really an ensemble effort. Mm-hmm. And she gave everybody something fun to do. She didn't hog all the good roles for herself. She didn't have to be the star of every scene.
Right.
She didn't, what did they say? She didn't have to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. She was a team player. And I love that about her. And that kind of graciousness is what makes me love her. And that continues. She's just really a wonderful, wonderful person.
Man, I wish there was just more characters for women. Sometimes, like for me, I love to play characters.
Funny, strong.
Yeah.
It's not like ooh, help me.
Well, she created her
damsels
own. You know, that's the thing.
Exactly.
And there are people out there doing it. And there's just much more a receptive world, I think, than there used
to
be. And also the number of platforms now. You know, everybody's just looking
there's
for
so
content.
Much.
Right.
You know,
so everybody's
Facebook now.
Mm-hmm.
Apple. Original.
Like, give me more content.
I'm overwhelmed by too much.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't.
Whoa. So I don't watch anything.
Yeah.
I don't watch anything.
I watch Law & Order SVU.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's all right. I watch over
I watch
and
a lot
over
of
again.
TV. So I'm guilty. I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But it's research.
It is research, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, no, go do it, man. It's out there for us to watch. And so much of it is good.
It is. It's excellent. Oh, it's so funny. I remember Harry saying the other day, I asked him how his one show was going. He goes, it's so easy, Jenna. I really don't have to do a ton. I'm not one of the mains. I like, you know, main people that's there all the time, even though I'm a series regular. I'm the Jane Lynch of this show. And I was like, yes, you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love that. I love that. And like I said, I didn't appreciate it as much in the beginning of Glee. I wanted to show up every day. And
sure.
Wanted to have those long. I wanted to be tired.
We would have traded places with you.
I'll bet you guys worked so hard.
Yeah.
Because you were doing like a musical a week.
Oh, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
A new musical every week.
It's a musical.
Yeah,
it's a good way to describe it.
And it was like, if you don't know this song, learn it. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And you're dancing
on set,
to
here's
it.
Here's a sheet music.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Before we get back to Jane, let's give a shout out to Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe for your friends. If you're single, sign up and start meeting cool new people now. If you're not single, you can still sign up and play matchmaker for your friends. Download Ship. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. Sign up invite your friends, and create your crew. Kevin and I are on it, and we're helping find matches for our producer, Steve. And one of the best parts is the group chat feature. You can skim through profiles and strategize how to start the conversation to help your friends find just the right match. Finding a date is more fun if you do it with friends. Download Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe with your friends. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. All right, Jane, you have a game show. You've got a couple shows coming up. You've got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I do.
You worked on Maisel. What
mm-hmm.
What else does Jane Lynch want to do in
nothing.
Her
career? I really don't.
Absolutely not.
And it's not like I have, I was going to say, not like I have no ambition, but it's true. I don't. Yeah. I don't have that white hot.
That's
what's
good.
Next? What's next?
That's
and
good.
I really want to do this and I want to approve that or I want to make that. Well, maybe I do want to make a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Because there's a freedom in that.
Right.
But there's really, you know, and it's a very peaceful place to be. And I would say that it's kind of the character of my whole life right now is there's really nothing I want.
Mm.
And it's a nice place to
nice.
Be. There are things here and there that I'll be like, I just bought a pair of birds. All birds?
Oh, dream life.
I wanted
it's like
them
a
so
hug
of course
for
I had to buy a second pair.
Yeah.
I love them.
I know. I did
buy
the same
me a
thing.
Pair, please.
So I wanted some all birds. I'll get you a pair.
No.
You know what they make it so easy now? They say for Apple Pay, press here and you just slide
you put your thumbprint.
It's done and it comes to your house.
It's just too easy.
And it goes
scary.
Yeah. And it's done.
And then you have a hug for your
I know.
Yeah.
You have Jenna, you have posts where you have like your emotions of you just bought something and this is how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you always feel like that? You know, in
I had
the industry?
More white hot ambition.
Yeah,
but I also it rarely brought me down. I remember just a couple of times where I was like, oh, I'm so depressed. I'm not. I just love doing it because if I didn't do somehow, I always made enough money.
Yeah.
I wasn't rich, but I somehow made enough
somehow.
Money amazing. Without having to get another job.
Right.
If I wasn't getting a job on television, I was doing voiceover.
Right.
And if I wasn't doing voiceover, I was always doing something on stage. I have a group of people that I came out to L.A. with from Chicago, and we did a show called The Real Live Brady Bunch over at the Westwood Playhouse, which is now the Geffen Playhouse. So we all stayed here. This is the early 90s when you were, like, suckling.
Mm-hmm.
And we've remained friends. We don't see each other much anymore because we're old and almost grandparents. But we did sketch comedy shows,
yeah.
And we would find a theater, and we always ended up ending it with a musical number in our underwear. I don't know why, but that's what we
that
would
was
do. We thought
it's
that was
underwear.
Funny.
The skivvies.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, you know, skivvies, yeah. And I love wearing just pantyhose, and back in those days, I looked pretty good.
Yeah.
With underwear underneath it, though, so it wasn't like a smushed
yeah, so it wasn't
pubic
like
hair.
The fishnets
visible.
With
yeah.
no underwear on.
I'm sorry.
Right,
exactly. Apologize. So I loved it, and I think that, you know, people say, how do you make it in the business? And I say, do not put that cart before the horse. You have to love it, or you're just wasting your life.
Absolutely.
You should always do something you love. And when we're looking, like a girl at a coffee shop who works at a coffee shop, she said, I just got a manager, and I'm so excited. And we were talking about branding and marketing, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Where have you done a play?
What are you marketing?
Yeah, what are you marketing?
Yeah.
You know, there are plenty of unscrupulous, crazy people out there going, yeah, we're going to make you a star. And I don't know why they do it, because they're not going to make any money on these people anyway. They got to know they're not going to work.
Right.
So
it drives me crazy.
Yeah
it's you got to do it because you love it and that you
right.
have
yeah.
no other choice but to do it.
You kind of get lost in it, though, being in this day and age. People can make you think that you need to be doing it.
Especially
and so you do it and you're like,
well, the instant fame, like the YouTubers and the, you know, the Instagram influencers, and that's how they're famous is just off of this, like, 15-second video.
And they
that's
go, I want
fame.
That. I can do that.
Right. Exactly.
And you can't.
You can in your own way.
You can do it for
five
a short amount of time.
But it always, you know, it always makes sense to do what you love. And if it's, you know, I know it can be really frustrating if you love acting and you don't get to do it in a big way.
Right.
And you kind of feel like, oh, I have so much. Well, then do it somewhere else.
Right.
I always would throw my own quote-unquote party. I would, you know, find a theater and say and get the usual suspects and say, you want to do another sketch comedy show?
Yeah,
and they're
great.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
And then I would produce it. And then the next time somebody, Melanie, would go, oh, I want to do a show. You want to do it? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And we just kept our hand in that way.
Yeah.
And
I was doing that for
it.
A long time, too, with some friends. As we just, but ours would be shorts. Like, we'd produce little shorts.
Right.
That can get costly.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. But, you know, and maybe you can get into festival or something. But for the most part, you do it because it feels good and it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we've got this thing going on now where we're saying you have to be massive, and it's Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, massively successful in something. And you have to break through, and it completely gets rid of the – where does your passion lead you? What is what is your joy?
Mm.
So there you go.
Whoa.
Would that be your message to –
That's my message to America's youth.
Is what is your passion and what is your joy? As she puts on her beautiful lipstick.
As she puts on her chapstick.
I put on my chapstick.
My message to America's youth. Is Hollywood Game Night as fun as it looks?
Yes, but you know, it's still – I was going to say it's still a job. But it is.
We love it.
It is.
But it is kind of like throwing a party. And I have social anxiety. I'm not great at going to parties, but I love to throw them. I'm like, what is the name of Tom Buchanan? What's
your
name? Gatsby. Yes, I stand on the
railing.
The railing,
so
and I watch everybody have fun
when you throw a party.
Yeah, it is. It's easy if you invite really bright, shiny people,
totally.
And somebody does that for me,
and off you go,
and then I just get to herd the cats a little bit, not too much.
Right,
you kind of let the fun happen. So I've kind of learned how to do it, and we get great people. We get really
Jane, why haven't we been on it?
I don't know either. I have no idea. And you
get
know what? It should
all
have been done.
We'll all come.
We should.
I'm going to be terrible at it.
I'm going to be great.
Well, that's
going to
be. I know you'll be terrible at it.
Yeah,
and I will be great.
And
at
that
it.
Will
I'm
be
coming
some,
for you.
That'll be some great television.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be me.
But if we do another one, if we do another season, we never know if we're get picked up. But we're kind of on the bench, and we get called up every once in a while. But I will pitch that. I think that's a great idea. They don't.
Been long
me,
enough. I feel like we're not on Fox anymore. It's like
it's a reunion.
Yeah,
it would be
a pretty great episode.
Yeah, that would be
fun.
That would be. It would be fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. And before we get to another really fun part of this podcast, please just tell me about Christopher Guest, because you did so many of those movies and they were so brilliant, and like it's such a specific type of comedy that I love so very much.
I
so
do
please
too.
Tell us about
our generation
Christopher
is
Guest.
Obsessed with these.
Yeah,
movies.
And I feel like
really
they kind
good.
Of get they need a resurgence for the other.
They do.
You know
it's 20 years
future.
Since Best in Show now.
That's crazy.
Listen, Christopher Guest, if you're listening, I have a script for you.
Yeah. But let's not remake any of them. Let's just bring back the originals.
Exactly. You know, I walk into this building and where we're recording this podcast, and I think of Christopher Guest.
Yes, because he's close.
He was right here. It was Castle Rock.
Exactly what Hitchcock said.
And this was. I ran into Christopher Guest back in 1999 at the newsroom, which is no longer there, but I was having breakfast, and I'd done a commercial with him, and we ran into each other, and he said, hey, come to my office. So I came into this very room at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that day, went up to his office, and he said, would you like to do this movie? This is Jennifer Coolidge, and then these people are over here, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I would. He said, okay, I'm going to talk to my co-producer, Eugene Levy, and I'll give you a call tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and then by tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I had that job. And it was huge for me because I was a huge fan of Waiting for Guffman. And I thought I had this, as John Michael Higgins always says, I had this preposterous fantasy that I would someday get to work with these people. And that's exactly what happened for both of us. We didn't know each other prior, but we shared the same story that we thought there's no way this is ever going to happen. And it did. And I love working that way. And I know Michael does too. And everybody, we pack heavy when we show up. We get very little direction. He gives us a thumbnail sketch of our character and who we're working with. And there's no script.
That was going to be my next question is how much is it?
No dialogue at all.
What a fun exercise.
It's good.
Unbelievable.
But there is a script in that it'll say exterior, dog show, they talk about such and such, but no lines or anything. So there's a scenario basically of what's going to happen in the movie. And so you work on your own.
Wow.
Jennifer and I actually did talk for the first movie. We had dinner together and we kind of talked about our characters. And when we were in Vancouver shooting, we would take walks through Stanley Park and talk about the porn that she had watched that night and a little bit about our characters. And she would act some of it out for me, too. We'd do that. And then you show up. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we were. And he would just roll the camera. And he told you nothing, and the camera's still rolling, and it's rolling, and you're like, I have nothing else, I've got nothing else. And then you start repeating yourself, and eventually something happens. And then he says, okay, cut. great, we're going to just – he probably wouldn't even say great. He would say, okay, we're going to cut. We're just going to bring the cameras in a little bit. So just, you know, do as much of that as you remember again. Okay.
Wow.
And now we're going to bring the camera. We're going to do your close-ups. And basically, now we know what the scene is.
Got it.
So you're basically
kind of
directing yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Well, he'll tell you if it's – he's keeping an eye on – he's editing it already.
Right. Exactly.
He's keeping an eye on the story, and he's keeping an eye on the information, and he really trusts us.
Wow. I mean, you really got to trust your
And one of the things he doesn't like and is when you try to, like, make a joke.
You try to make it funny. Right.
Yeah, try to make a joke because it's about behavior.
Totally.
It's more about – people, you know, he always does a show about people who care so much about some particular microcosm of culture, like the dog show world or community
theater world.
In a small town, and we're going to Broadway.
It's so genius. You know? It's so
But they're
genius.
Real people.
Yeah, but they're real
Damn.
People.
So was your character ever for you based on somebody real?
But kind of myself as a young person trying to get people to notice me. Hmm. And I got things to say, too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to act like I really know what I'm doing. But deep down inside, I'm scared to death someone's going to, you know, call me on this and see that I'm just a big fraud. So that's basically who she was for me.
Whoa.
I can just picture me sitting down watching this movie when I was 19 years old being like, oh,
I know.
My God.
Well, do you think you would
get –
some people didn't get that it was some – because it is so well documentarily done.
Yeah.
It looks
some
real.
People thought it was real. I have to admit, I was about 18 when Spinal Tap came out.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it and I'm like, well, I know that's Rob Reiner. What's he doing with these idiots?
Wow.
These guys aren't even good. I thought
God.
It was for real. And then I started looking at Michael McKean going, is that Lenny? And then I was like, okay. And my brother's it's not real, dummy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's confusing for some people.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little sad if it's confusing. I'm sure they're also voting for a particular person.
Yeah. People Way singing songs back. About stools.
You're right.
Amazing. Well, that's so cool. I feel like we never got to hear about any of those experiences, or maybe we just didn't ask you.
But you probably didn't
thank
ask
you
me.
For, yeah, we didn't ask you.
No.
That's true.
I probably wasn't
or
open
we were
to
just
being
singing
asked.
And dancing, too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're working too hard.
I want to ask about – do you have time?
Yeah, go for
okay.
it.
Okay. I want to ask about your experience in Hollywood, like pre all this.
Success. Mm-hmm.
What was auditioning – pre-success. What
yeah,
was auditioning
yeah.
like here?
I wonder if it's the same still. You get this – it was funny. The fax machine invented in the middle of this. So you used to have to drive to the studio – pick up your sides, and if you wanted to read the whole script, you had to sit in the waiting room and read it. So there was a lot of time in the car, and you had what do you call that? Thomas Guide to get you.
No.
That's how you look things up. Okay, it's H6.
Like a grid.
Crazy. I have to go down National. Oh, I always get lost on National. And so you would spend the day. Maybe you had two auditions a week because it was ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox.
Right,
and
all four.
That's it.
Right.
So that's television.
Which I wish
movies were different.
Right.
There were more movies, but I wasn't auditioning for a lot of those. I was mostly in television. So then you, especially in the beginning, you have to read for the casting director first, and she decides if you go on to producers. So you sit with the casting director, and they're usually bored with you,
mm-hmm.
but they're always very nice.
Right.
Because they've had 100 of them, and they go, okay, go ahead, and they read with you, and then they go, thank you. And then you get a call, and if you have – I remember my big cell phone was this big – either on your way back
right.
or when you got home saying you're going to producers because they decide –
like wow, yeah.
And then if you go to producers, you have to go back and audition for producers. And every once in a while, you might get a call back
right.
for producers. Oh, but usually you get cast one way or the other. You find out. But if you didn't get it, you don't find out. But if
right.
you did
right.
get it, you find
Which
out pretty quickly.
Which is still the
quickly.
Same way now.
Yeah. Is that how it works?
Yeah. I'm always like, do, 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 do.
I'm like, if you don't hear anything, you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Not moving forward.
You know, when you do a pilot audition, you know how you have to sign your life away before you can even do the, what do you
the
call
test.
It? The test.
Yes.
And then you find out in your car if you got especially if you got it.
I actually flew in for Glee to LA.
From New York, right?
Yeah, staying in the Intercontinental with the other people that they flew in to test as well.
Oh, really?
And so on the way back, we were all walking back from the test together, and there was two of them who didn't get it. They tested again. Kevin and me, and I was with them as
That's
I got
so
the call
oh, no.
that I booked it, and I was like, That's great.
Oh, thank that must you. Have been
like walking into a corner.
And like they I knew one of them and they were like, so I guess we didn't get it.
Yeah.
They saw based off of the phone call.
Yeah.
You know, this it's world so is so about wait, but this kind of thing happens quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah. Wow. It's pretty wild.
So how was your audition for Glee? Your test. How did it go?
It went really well. So I tested with Chris Colfer, who tested against himself and only himself.
Oh, they created that role.
He was like, I think I'm just testing for this role by myself. And then Kevin and his other counterpart who didn't get it, who mm-hmm. I was with, and then another girl from New York that I tested against. And mm-hmm. everybody went in and did their own thing. And the thing with tests, for people who don't know, if you're testing with three other characters, none of you can leave the room until everybody's done testing.
So you're watching
three other actors for the same role.
Yeah. So everybody had to stay in the room until we were all
done. You were watching each other.
Why is no, that? No.
Oh, but like
we
outside.
Just in the waiting room. Well, I don't know.
Oh, you know what? It might be like, you know what? Let's bring Jen in
her
again.
Back.
I want
well,
to see her
that's
again.
The thing. With this other
so
person.
They did bring both of the Tinas back in.
Yeah.
So they came in and they were like, we're going to bring Tina back in and we're going to ask you something. And they whispered something in our ear, which was like, you know, subtle, make the stutter more subtle. So I'm like pacing back and forth in the waiting room like, okay, so it went from Tourette's to a stutter now to a subtle stutter. Like, what does that mean?
And was Ryan in there?
Ryan, Ian, Brad, Mike, everybody. Like, it was everybody. And
Mike
Dana
who?
Novick, remember
oh,
him?
Yeah, oh, yeah, way back when.
Dana Walden.
Can I ask
who Jen the other Jenna was?
Oh, wow.
Her name was... From New York. She's a Broadway actress as well.
Yeah.
And she was a blonde, totally different size. Like,
uh-huh.
yeah, just, it was just me and a blonde girl.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Weird.
We were like, looked at each other. We were like, well, at least we won't take it personal.
Yeah, you like knew each other.
Yeah. And then you didn't even have a test.
I didn't have a test.
You were dancing. And
I was dancing.
She taught
I hired
single
to be a
ladies.
Dancer. Yeah, I taught single ladies. And Zach
so
Woodley,
you with
who
Zach,
the angel.
You knew Zach prior.
Yeah, I was working with Zach previously as an assistant.
Okay.
And him being an angel, like he got me other lines and other films that I had done with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just believes in everybody that he works with. And he had told Ryan, hey, she wants to be an actor. She's kind of going towards that direction. Will you consider her? And so he scheduled me twice.
That's nice of him.
I know. He's amazing. He scheduled me twice to do a read with Ryan Murphy, and both times Ryan Murphy canceled the read. And then like that night I got a call from my dance agent that I was this role as Brittany. I don't even know if she had a name at that point,
oh
but that
God.
I was this character who was never really going to get lines, but you know, I was still a character.
And
which
look
is
at
crazy.
Look at you now.
Wow.
I mean, you know, still in that struggle bus over here.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the
we're
biz, right?
Yeah, welcome to life. Yeah.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to play a little game.
Okay. I don't play games. I just host them.
That's okay.
But that's okay.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, and we're back.
Yay.
And we're going to play a game. Because Jane
nervous.
Only hosts game
right.
shows,
right.
but
now
you're
going to
make
play
her play. All right, this
Turn
is called...
Turn the tables on me.
This is called Show Smash the Buzzer.
Okay.
And there's four categories. We're going to start with the first category.
Okay.
I'm going to give you this category, and I want you to buzz...
Which one's yours?
Think,
I'll go...
Okay. I'll go... Bzz.
Okay.
Got to remember that.
So... This is the Hollywood Walk of Fame stars.
Okay.
And I want you guys to buzz when you think that someone has a star.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Jane Lynch. Very good.
Everybody
Got it. Gets a point. The Backstreet Boys.
Bzz.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
I would only assume.
Yes. Julia Roberts.
Bzz.
Wrong.
She knew that.
I didn't know that. I'm just
guessing here. Waiting.
Yeah.
What She's waiting. She's beating.
My buzz also
Wait,
sounds like
what?
Wrong.
What? Julia Roberts does not have a star?
No, wow. Crazy, right?
I'll say
How
wop, wop.
Has okay. the Backstreet Boys gotten a star and Julia Roberts
well,
has not?
We're going to discuss a little bit about the politics of the Hollywood star right
okay.
after this.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd love to know
Oprah.
This. I'm not buzzing if she's not buzzing.
OK. Okay, you guys are right. She doesn't have a star.
And you'll understand why when I discuss
I'm going to follow
why.
Your
See,
lead.
See, no. Jane's got a secret. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She knows things.
Michael Jackson. Yep. Everybody gets a point.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Astaire.
Bzz.
Yes, yeah. Everybody gets
I've
a point.
I've seen his.
Whitney Houston. Whitney does not have a star. Crazy.
I'm just like controversial with everything. I'm like, what?
Okay, Jane, tell us.
Yeah, so, it used. This is terrible to say because they'll probably dig up my star after I say it. But back in the day, like, it used to mean something, and that's why I buzzed on Whitney Houston. They would actually choose people that they thought, had excellence in their field.
Hmm.
And now, to get a star, you have to donate like $35,000 or something to the Walk of Star Fame thing. Now, obviously, I think Fox did it for me because I did not write out that check.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you have to.
Got it.
You agree to.
Wow.
You know, donate a certain. So anytime you see someone.
I mean, Oprah
a star,
could do it because she
and
could.
Sure, she could,
them.
But she probably went.
She's like, oh, she's like, I'm not going to give them that.
It doesn't mean anything if right. you can kind of buy it.
Right, right, so, right, right,
ooh,
right.
I'm saying it very softly because I don't want to start saying it.
Nobody's going to hear it
because nobody will hear it if we
yes, maybe, right. maybe they've exited the episode as of now.
Okay, second. Coach, everybody has dogs here. Bear is here in honor of this segment.
Great.
Movies where the dog dies.
Oh.
Okay.
They wouldn't do it now because we're all too damn sensitive.
Oh, no.
Okay. Except Marley.
This is also doesthedogdie.com. This is where I got my information okay. from, just so you know.
Okay, doesthedogdie.com.
I'm Buzz. When you think the dog dies in the movie, okay?
Okay, I'm going to be okay. – I'm not going to do anymore because that okay. sounds – I'm going to go beep.
Okay, that's good. That's
oh, that's
good.
A good one. Okay.
Thanks.
It's like hearing tests.
Yeah.
Lassie.
I didn't see it.
It was a series.
It was a show.
94. Yeah. Lassie 94.
Is this in
a movie as well?
So is this in real life or just in the movie?
No,
just
it was a television, just a television just series
the
back in the
only
60s.
Only in the movie. Shit. Storytelling.
Well, was there a Lassie movie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'm going to say beep.
Wrong. Marley and Me.
Bzz, beep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a point.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Is that the first one?
Yes.
No dogs died in that picture.
Everybody's right. Turner and Hooch.
Bzz, no dog died in that movie.
Heather was right.
He does die?
Hooch dies. Aww. Trying took the bullet for Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Remember in the air it was a slow-mo? Pew.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They wouldn't do
I
that
I just remember
now.
Being
no,
sad.
No, they wouldn't do that
we're
now.
Tender.
We're just too, yeah,
he would
that's
live
right.
Somehow.
We are too tender.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter would have an uproar.
Don't kill the dog.com.
The Truth About Cats and Dogs.
I don't think I saw
no
that
no dog
either.
Died in that.
That's right. Benji.
Bzz.
No dog dies.
Wrong.
Jane's right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, next topic. City and town names in the greater Phoenix area.
Holy cow.
Okay. Buzz, if you think it's not a town name.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to say not because it'll be
That's
clear.
That's fine.
Okay.
Chippewa.
Not.
That's right, Jane.
Well.
Coffee pot.
Bzz. Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. These are good.
I haven't heard of it, but there's a certain kind of vibe to. There's a weirdness to the town names in Arizona for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we really can't get you on this one.
Well, we'll see.
Surprise.
Oh, that's one. I've been there.
Surprise, Arizona. I'm going to say no.
That's one.
Tell
it is.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Carefree.
That's one.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
It is.
Oh, shoot. I thought you were setting me up. You are.
Yes.
You
this
know
is why.
These.
Yeah.
I know these.
Oh, my God.
We, you okay, know, we're so just trying to help people out
you
here.
Helped me with, yeah.
oh, thank
okay.
you.
With well, the stars.
I'm still
going to
play and do the best I can.
Yeah.
I won't.
Sue.
Who?
Sue. S-I-O-U-X.
Oh, that's like Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Well, it's an Indian tribe. So I'm going to say that it is.
Wrong.
Okay.
Hope.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Arkansas, too. Hope, Arkansas.
Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes!
I think it is.
Yes! Good job. And our last topic.
All right.
Ooh, I like this game.
Jane from Chicago.
Yeah.
Pizza toppings.
Oh, pizza toppings from Chicago.
No. Buzz, when you think this is not a pizza topping found in the USA. We just did the pizza toppings for
I'm going to say
pizza.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not. Okay.
Got it.
I won't. I'll still do Buzz.
Okay, so Buzz, when you think it's not a pizza topping mm-hmm. that you can find in the USA. Banana.
Not.
is.
Why?
Yes.
As a Chicagoan, I'm offended.
Rice cakes.
No.
That's right. Not. It's not.
It's not.
No.
Snot?
Snot.
I say not for snot.
A whole lobster.
I'm sure it
yes.
is.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Everybody gets a point.
Yeah.
Yogurt.
No.
Right.
Not.
Everybody gets a point. Entire Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
That is.
It absolutely is.
Oh. Mashed potatoes, too?
I think I've seen, too. Like, a YouTube about
actually,
this.
Actually, there's a mashed potato place by Yale that actually has, like, it's a mashed potato pizza with mashed potatoes on top. Apparently, it's great.
I've seen this.
Anyway.
Some carbo loading.
Yeah, right? Graham cracker crust.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
There's bagel crust.
There's a Thanksgiving dinner, but there's not graham
exactly.
cracker.
Yeah, really. That's crazy pants.
And last one. Peanut butter.
No.
Heather?
No. Yes.
There is.
Oh, I'm disgusted.
Yay!
But should
None
there
of
be?
This was logical. So.
And where was this from, Steve? We have this website that it's a very interesting article about where these very eclectic toppings that can be found in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And some of them are Thanksgiving dinner, gold flakes.
We'll post the link to this article in the episode description.
Yeah, yeah, in the episode description because y'all should take
a look. You said you gave us each points and stuff. Is anybody really tallying this?
No, everybody won.
But I think you
everybody
won.
Everybody wins.
No way. And you did win.
Well, she did have a whole one that from a city that
so
she's
much.
From.
So you should do this on your show so that I can do okay.
Well, we actually
do. There you go.
They actually do have so the game on her show is called Smash the Buzzer, and so she throws out different things, and it's very fun.
Got
That's where
it.
We got this from.
I thought it was all about like stars' names. And I'm like, nope, I will never remember any of that.
No, a lot of it is pop culture.
Yeah.
And you're good,
Jane. You're the best. Thank you for coming.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It was
but thank
so great
you.
To have you
it was
here.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Great to be here, girls.
All right, you guys. Tune in next week.
Woo!
Bye.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you so much for listening to Showmance with us. And get new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude. And make sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a nice rating and a 5-star review, of course. And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.